Listen, we're so glad you're here. We're in a series called Who Do You Love? Who Do You Love? In the last couple weeks, we've been talking about money and putting God first. How many know we want to put God first in our life? Absolutely. Matter of fact, we got a verse to go with it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says this: No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve both God and how many of y'all know that? You can't serve both. You can only either serve God or serve money. You can't serve both. And the whole deal with serving God and loving God is to put Him first. And then watch this. Not love money in the sense of putting money above God, but really allowing money to have its rightful place in your heart, which is a servant to you, not a king to you. Money is a tool to be used, not a God to be worshipped. How many of y'all believe that? It's a tool to be used. So my question would be, what should we use the tool of money? What should we use it for? How should we use it? I mean, there's a practical application of paying bills and all that stuff. But outside of that, what do we use it for? Well, let me give it to you this way. I believe with all my heart, this is one of our core values, and it says this: we will win the loss. It's hanging out there on the wall. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. Do you believe that that is a good place for money to go? Come on. People's eternity is changed because we spend money to reach people and reach the lost. I believe with all my heart, this is what Jesus was talking about when he talked about this. The Bible says, Luke 15, 1, then there was a tax collector and the sinners drew near to him, Jesus, the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained saying, this is a man who receives sinners and eats with them. Okay, that was my grumpy Pharisee voice, all right? But in light of that, here's the truth. How many of you know they were sinners too? Yeah. But they were complaining because, isn't it amazing how people think? All right, but so check this out. It goes on. And then he spoke a parable to them saying, what did he say? He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and go after the one which is lost till he what? Till he finds it. He goes after the lost one. He said, I'm over the one. Seems kind of crazy, but it's what he said. He leaves the one, the 99, and goes after the one. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoices, and what does he do? And when he comes home, he calls calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which is lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner. Everybody say one. One sinner. Who repents than over 99 just persons who need repentance. The one. Listen, Jesus is concerned about the one. He's always concerned about the one. You have 99 in, but you got the one that's away. And I believe with all my heart, as a church here to represent Jesus and to do the ministry of the church and to reach the lost, that it is okay for us to spend our money reaching the lost and ministering to people. Because here's the reality. Whenever you look at it, if you read through the parable talks about a lost sheep. The next parable, next verse, talks about the lost coin. And then the next verse talks about, or next chapter of that portion of that chapter, talks about the lost son. Whenever you realize it, you realize this is what Jesus is saying. If you have a lost sheep, which back then was a perishable item, they would sacrifice them. If it did, they couldn't milk it, they'd eat it. Okay, kind of weird. But anyway, they had a lost sheep, 1 out of 100. If you lose 1 out of 100, you're going after that. And then it goes on, if you lost a coin, if you had 1 coin out of 10, if you lost 1 out of 10, guess what would happen? You'd go after the lost coin. Is that right? And then you got the last one, you have a lost son. Because here's what Jesus was really saying. Whether it's one out of 100 or one out of 10 or one out of every two, that lost one is somebody's son. That lost one is someone's daughter. That lost one represents someone that is special to someone else. And the reality is, God cares about every one of them. Do you believe that? God cares about each and every one. Matter of fact, here's the way I would say it. Everyone matters to God. And I know it's kind of cliche, but everyone matters to God. No matter who it is, God cares about the one. Matter of fact, 2 Peter says it this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards who? Towards us. Not willing that who? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you, God cares about everyone. He absolutely cares about everyone. Now, like I said, if the church is here to care about everyone, and the church is here to reach everyone, then I think the right question to be asked is this. How are we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? And when I say church, I'm talking about Abundant Life Church. How are we doing? Now, I want to tell you this right up front. Everybody look at me and check me out. Hear me out. I run the risk in this message for the rest of the message that you're thinking that this message is about something that it's not. You may think what I'm about to show you, you may think this is about us trying to say we're like, think we're somebody or think we've arrived or Pastor Charlie's great or what, none of y'all think that. But anyway, there's all these different ideas as to what people might think. But I'm here to tell you, none of that has anything to do with it. I'm just simply going to show you where we are at as a church and what God has done. Because here's the reality. If you don't realize it, God is doing some big stuff around here. I mean, he's doing big stuff. Did you try and get into the parking lot today? How many of y'all parked across the street? God is doing big things here, y'all. God is doing something big. And I'm not saying that because I'm somebody. Actually, if I blame anybody, it's you guys' fault. You keep inviting family and friends here. I'm blaming y'all. In a good way. Keep doing it, by the way. Keep doing it. But listen to this. I don't want you to get the idea that what I'm about to show you is the main focus of our ministry. By the end of the message, I want to show you what the focus is here, what the focus is. But there's nothing wrong with looking and asking about how are we doing as a church? How is the money at the church? How do you guys do things here? What's your philosophy on these things? See? I've been on your side. I've sat in churches where people ask for your money, but they don't tell you what's going on with the money. They don't tell you what's going on with any of that. And I think it's only fair to know what's going on with it. Amen? How many of you know where I'm coming from? Amen? All right. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. You ready? How are we doing? Well, let's talk about this one. We baptized 145 people. I know to some people it's like, what? That's it? Well, to me, that's a big deal. 145 people considering, Peggy, Ms. Yoder, it took us 4 years to get a church this size. It took us about 4 or 5 years to get a church of 145 people. This last year, in the last 12 months, we baptized 145 people. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. You say, why is that so important? Because that's 145 ones. That's why it means something to me. You know, at least 145 of them are someone's daughter, someone's son that's represented in that. Do you know some of those people, they probably were prayed for by their grandmother who's already passed away and never even got to see that day that they gave their heart to Christ and were baptized. But the reality is the 145 people actually mean something to God. They're the people we're going after. 145. Now, I will tell you this. Here at the church, we track people that say on their Connect card how many who gave their heart to Christ. But can I tell you, I don't keep as close an eye on that as I do this number. And the reason I look at this number is it's one thing to check a thing on a card saying, I want a relationship with God. It's another to come up here in front of people and be baptized and to declare to the world that I am following Jesus for the rest of my life. How many of you know that's a big deal? I believe that's a big deal, man. And that's why we celebrate that number of 145. Let me give you this one. We've had 295 people over the last 12 months go to our Get to Know You luncheon. 295 people. And that's not people including kids. And that's heads. Heads, a husband and wife couple. And they could bring 4 or 5 kids, you know, 12 kids. I don't know. Whatever. They bring whatever. If you got 12 kids, you need prayer. So if you got one kid, you need prayer. But anyway, the reality is that's 295 people that we have reached here at the church. And if you've not been to a Get to Know You luncheon, check your card. Make sure you put your name and your phone number on there. We'll call you. We got people that check the card and they don't tell us who they are. So we just pick somebody. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, on a serious note, we track everything here at the church. I want to show you why you give to the church. Why do you give? And I know what some of you are thinking. I want to know how Facebook's doing. Okay, we got a stat for you. It was a joke. In 2009, we had 77 likes. You fast forward, watch this. 2016, 924, total of 2,172 total likes. You say, well, I don't care about that. How about this? Facebook reaches. How far are we reaching out? 2014, 220,000 people. 2015, 409,000. 2016, 760,000 people were reaching on Facebook. Amen? It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And again, we're talking all these numbers, but this isn't the focus of our ministry. I'm only showing you how we're doing, okay? Look at this. Sermon videos, YouTube. 2014, 5,475 views. 2015, 8,837 views. 2016, 15,740 views. When you add up the total minutes, we get a report. Total minutes watched, 235,011 minutes, 163 days or 23 weeks of people watching videos, our sermons. Amen? That's awesome. That's awesome. I would say somebody needs to get a job, though, right? If you're the one person watching all that, you need to get a job. But the reality is, listen, we use all those things to impact people's lives. Those hours and time spent to me represent people who are tapping and watching our videos, and it's ministering to them, and it's changing their lives from the inside out. That's why that number matters. Amen? It's not because we care about the number. Of people, we care about people whose lives are being touched and transformed. Check out this. Here's one for you. How many of you know we broadcast all of our services through that camera right there? Yeah? You guys know that? That's an important position back there. You want to know why? Look at this. Every weekend, back in 7 of 2016, we moved from one company to another company because we wasn't seeing good results, and our web service wasn't that good. We changed, and since then, it's done nothing but increase. You get down here within the last month and a half, 151 viewers, 202 viewers, 53 viewers, 157 viewers, 174 viewers, 228 viewers. 191, 2,000, or 202 viewers watching through that. Do you know what the average size church in America is? 200 people. 200 people. We have the average size church in America watching on the web. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? 202 people every weekend are watching us on the web. And we get a print out of where they're from, and they're from all over. Why? It isn't about the 202. It's about those 202 represent the one that Jesus is ministering to. It's the one that we're talking about. Amen? Look at this. Saturday night service. We started the Saturday night service in February of 2015. Now I'm going to show you some things. Saturday, 2015, we started. We started with 2 people in February. We increased a whole negative 2 people by the end of the year. Oh, come on, that's supposed to be funny. We went backwards. We went down two people. No, here's what you'll know. Number one, we were figuring the Saturday night service out. And it takes a time to get adjusted to it and acclimated to it. Now, with that being said, look at this. In the middle of the summer, that Saturday night took a nosedive. That becomes important to the end of my conversation here in a little bit. But in the summer, the Saturday night service shrinks in the summer. Why? If you're having a barbecue and it's 5 o'clock on a Saturday and we got four nice days a year in Indiana, how many of you know you're not giving it up? I'm with you, man. I understand, all right? But here's the truth. The truth of it is in the summertime, that service shrinks. Why? All those people move to first service Sunday morning. It's what ends up happening. People are willing to get up a little bit earlier, come early, get to church and all that. But now, watch this. Look at this last year, 2016. Saturday night started with 220 in January, 227, but look at the numbers. Now, average now is 252. Now, when you add up those numbers, here's what you end up with. 91 new folks in 2015, 57% increase in our Saturday night service. 57%. Now get this. The fastest growing churches in America grow at 33%. Everybody remember that. 33%. All right? Because that number becomes critical here in just a minute. 33%. How fast is that service? 57%. Now, let me stop right here and say this. If you are one of those people that you do not care what service you come to, and you're here on a Sunday morning, second or third service, second service was right before you, sorta. They weren't here before you. They were trying to leave here at the same time you were getting here. How many of you almost lost your salvation on the way to church in the parking lot? All right? Listen, I hear you, and I'm going to show you in a minute how we're going to fix that. But before I go there, if you would prayerfully consider moving to Saturday night, that'd be awesome. That service is full, but it's not completely full. There's still plenty of room in that service if you would like to. Maybe you and your family, you don't care what time, you've just always came on Saturday or Sunday just because. If you would like to come on Saturday, we've got plenty of room, and you, I promise you won't lose your salvation getting in and out. It's a whole different vibe, all right? So if you would prayerfully consider that, that would be great, great, great. Now, let me just show you, if we continue on the path that we are on for our Saturday night service, let me show you what's going to happen. If you take Saturday night service for 2017, if we grow at only what? 30%. How many of you know we grew at 57% this last year? And I don't expect it to shrink. But let's say we only grow at 30%. You're going to end up with 327. Now watch. Saturday night for 2018, 2 years from now, or year from now, you'll end up with the average for that year is going to be 425.88. That's someone who's pregnant and almost ready to deliver. All right? That's what that is. They're halfway through it. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? Listen to this. Saturday night service, 425 people by the end of that. But right now, we're running, you know, on average, we're running 277. Last night, we had baptisms, though. We had right at 400 people here last night. 400 people, praise God. So there's plenty of room in that Saturday night, though, for you to come. And I'm going to show you something about the Saturday night here in the future. Because here's the truth. Whenever you start looking at these numbers, 425 people, when you start getting up there in the 400s in this building, you're packing this place out, y'all. Just saying, you're packing this place out. This room right here has 400, it has 515 chairs in it. Okay, 515 chairs. Now, no church I've ever been to has this skinny aisles nor chairs along the entire back wall. That's odd. We pack them in here, man. We are doing our very best to pack as many people as we can in here, you know, without everybody cheek to cheek. Y'all know what I mean? Have you ever been to a cheek to cheek place? It's like, we love you, Jesus, and we'll never stop. Don't fart. Don't fart. You'll explode. Poof. Just saying. I know some of you are like, I can't believe he said that. Say what you want. We're growing, praise God. Say what you want. All right. How many of you just love us? I love our church, man. I just love it. I love it. I love it. The average pastor can't get away with that kind of stuff. But anyway, here we go. Check this out. Let me show you some Sunday morning stats, which you are a participant in. You ready for this? You're going to love this. Sunday morning, average attendance for these years, 2013 was 479. We grew at a 12% rate. 2014, 500 people, we grew at 5% rate. If you were here during 2014, I made some staff changes because I knew we were not where I wanted us to be. We made some changes, all right? Hey, Miss Peggy, Miss Hostetler, which is Yoder now. Miss Yoder invited, Miss Yoder, when you first came to our church, it just so happened she's in the service today. She just moved back. She used to live up by Shipshewana, Amish country. But anyway, Miss Yoder started inviting people to our church. How many people did we have? About 20 when you started coming? 20, 25 people. Peggy, you came because she invited you, didn't she? Yeah? How many did we have when you started coming? 30? 32? 32 people. 32 people. All right? I was back in 2003, somewhere in there. Now check this out. 2013, 479. 2014, we had that. Now watch this. You ready? 2015, we went from 572 people to 812 in 2015. You can see the numbers there. Average 37% increase that year. How many of you know that's jamming right there? That's jamming. If you're growing, fastest churches in America are growing at 33% and you're growing at 37%, you're kicking, man. I'm not saying we've arrived. I'm just saying you're doing something right. You're reaching people. You're touching their lives. Why? Because the one matters. It ain't about the numbers. It's about the one. Come on, y'all hearing my heart? All right. If you think that's good, wait till you see this. 2016, last year, y'all all came. 844 in January. By the end of the year, 949. Look at those numbers. Over 1,000 people almost consistently. Look at this. Our average was 1055, a 54% increase in 2016. 54%. 54%. Half of the people weren't here the year before. How many of you know that's awesome? God gets the glory for that, man. God gets the glory. Now check this out. When you take that and then you project our growth over the future, here's what you'll find. If we grow at 37% right now, look at this. Oh, no, I didn't hit all the slides. Okay, 2016, sorry, I got one more slide. 2017 attendance, just this last month. January, look at this, January to January. Average in January 2017 was 1320. 1320, you wanna know why we can't get in the parking lot? We have an average for the whole year of 1055. What do we got going on last month, the coldest January, February are usually our bottoms. We used to go up from there. 1320 last month. 1,320 people, praise God. That's awesome. Now, I say that to look at January of 2016, 844. A year earlier, 844 people. Last Sunday, not that long ago, last week, 1,413 people here, and we had nothing special going on. Nothing. No baptisms, no baby dedication, because I do look at that. If we have a baby dedication or we have baptisms, we have all that, it drives up the numbers. You know what I mean? Easter, all those things, special things drive up the numbers. I realize that that's not every Sunday. This is an average Sunday for Abundant Life Church now. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe people needed prayer. It didn't work. Sad. So sad. So now look at this. If you guys don't know what I'm doing, is she's wearing her Patriot shirt right now, and she's from New England. She drives a car. Everybody else in here drives a car. She drives a car. But anyway, all right. I'm all right with it. Okay, here we go. You ready? Here we go. Look at this now. Projected growth over the next couple years. 2017, if we grow at 37% to 50%, anywhere in that, you take our average attendance right now, multiply it out, here's what you end up with. By the this year, our average attendance should be somewhere between 1646 and 1803. If our past is any indication as to what we're growing to, I can promise you that's about where we're going to end up. Now you say, Pastor Charlie, do you think we'll grow up to 1803 by the end of this year? No. Why? People are losing their salvation now getting in and out of here, praise God. All right? There's no possible way I believe that we can do 1803 on a week-to-week-to-week basis, all right? Now, you take that number. Let's say we're healthy. We got plenty of space. We go to the next year. Guess what happens? You take those same numbers, multiply it by a growth rate. Then you end up with somewhere over the next couple years, we could be anywhere from 2255.02, someone just got pregnant, to 2,700 people, somewhere between 22 and 2,700 people, if you project it out. Y'all hearing my heart? Hear what I'm saying? It's going to make sense why I'm going to show you a building we're going to build. But I'm just saying, do you see what's going on here? All right? You see what's happening? People are being ministered to. Lives are being changed. This is not about a building, and this is not about your money. This is about every dollar, every penny, everything that we give impacts people in a real, real, real way. Come on. Come on. With America's with churches in America declining like off the chart, there are more churches closing every month than ever before in the history of America. And yet, look at what we're doing. Praise God. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about money. I'm going to show you something. I've never been in a church or seen a pastor do what I'm about to show you. I'm going to show you the money of the church. Now, listen to this. We're so open about money that if anybody would like to have a financial printout, we make them available at the kiosk. We ain't hiding nothing. Well, good, Pastor John. We want to know what you make. I'll just tell you what I make. You ready? I ain't telling you a number. I ain't that stupid. Let me tell you what we do for my pay. And actually the entire staff's pay. You ready? There's a book. There's a compensation book. It's about that thick. We get one every 2 years. 2016, 2017. I think the one right now is 2016, 2017. And what it is it's churches in America and what they pay their pastors, okay? And because I believe it's right to be fair, not for a pastor to take more than he needs, okay? I believe that it should be fair. So we go buy that book. We go buy that book for my pay. And what it does is, here's what it does. It breaks out geographical locations of churches, it breaks the entire country up into regions. And then you take that region, and then what you do is you go to the size of church, and then from size of church, you go to the income of the church, and then what you do is you take the high, middle, and low. There's a high salary, a mid salary, and a low salary that you can pay. Since I feel like it's fair with our employees to pay mid, we pay mid. And I actually take a little bit less than mid. Not that I'm trying to brag or anything like that. I feel like with me and my wife working at the church, we're both taking salaries from the church, so it's okay to pay me a little bit more, pay her fair, pay me a little bit less, and that way it's equal and the people get the biggest bang for their buck. Because here's the reality. If you've been here very long at all, you'll realize I don't care about the money. That's not why I do this. I did this for 2 years, starting the church for nothing, free. And I preached, get this, 3 services every week. Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Didn't ask for a dime. Why? Because to me, it's not about money. But I need money to pay bills. Come on, amen? It's just real. Because here's the truth. The truth is, if I could, and let me just say this, one of my future goals is to make enough money outside of the church, writing books and other things, that I can be a volunteer here and be the senior pastor. Wouldn't that be awesome? You ought to believe with me. You ought to believe with me. I think it'd be awesome to be able to do. So let's talk about money. You ready? Totally transparent. Here's what our church did in 2014. We did $605,000. That's a 13% increase. Our expenses were $524,000, 5% increase in our spending. 2015, We did $731,000. That's a 21% increase. Our expenses jumped up a little bit because I hired some more staff to cover the growth, a 25% increase. Last year, we did $1,066,000. That's a 46% increase. Now, remember, what was our rate of growth? 57. We had a 57% growth on attendance and a 46% growth in the money. How many of you know that's a good sign? That's a good sign. That means as people are coming in, they're feeling like we're connecting, it's ministering to them, and they're willing to give back into it. All right? That's all I'm saying with that. And I think that's pretty good. Our expenses also increased, obviously. You got more people, you got more expenses. 29% increase in our finances. All right? So now let's talk about this. Let's talk about projected growth in our money over the next couple years. 2017, if we multiply it at 20%, you get that about $1,066,000. You end up with 1.2 million. All right? Then you got a 20% increase in finances. It kind of tells you the gap of what you could save. Then you got this, and these are all projections, you know, but this is how I look at it. This is what I look at, and I'm determining, okay, what can we afford as a building payment? What can we afford to do this? What can we afford as far as outreach? How do we do this, all right? So that's kind of how that works. Now, let me show you how we do the budget at the church, in case you were curious about that. I want to answer all your questions. This is how I like to do the church budget and the finances. Now, Here's the ideal of a healthy church. Not every church buys into this. I'm going to tell you right. Everybody look at me and check this out. Not every church buys into this. But this is what I feel comfortable with. A lot of churches will move different things. And I'm not saying we don't move these around. But for the most part, I stick right here, man. I try and keep us right here. So get this. Staffing, 50%. Absolutely. Why? I believe those are the people taking care of people. Y'all hear my heart? I'm willing to pay staff 50%. Matter of fact, like right now, we're getting ready to hire some more people, specifically in the youth area. First thing I go to Melissa and I say, hey, where are we at on our percentages? All right? To tell you right now, we're at 45% of our staffing on our money. Now, just because we have money doesn't mean we spend it on staffing. I have to make sure there's margin here for us to add staff. There are times where I'll go up to 55% if I see someone or we need to hire someone for like data entry or something like that, but they got to eventually pay for themselves and this number needs to drop back into the 50 percentile. You see what I'm saying, everybody? All right, 20% on building, 20% on ministry, and 10% in savings. That's kind of how I like to do it. Sometimes these move a little bit, but that's where I like it. For the year last year, here's where we ended up. Staffing, we spent $476,000, and we were at 45%. So we're pretty good there. Building, $140,000 at 13%. Now watch, here's what I did. When you have 140, you have 13%. Look at where we put the extra 10% or 7% or whatever. We put it in savings, right? We didn't spend that money. We put it in savings. All right, ministry, $224,000. This is money that goes out into the community, whether via radio, whether it's trunk or treat, whether it's giving to the local shelter, whether it's giving food to CAM, whether it's giving money to CAM, whether it's giving, y'all hear what I'm saying? Money just going out. I don't know about you, but $224,000, that's a lot of money. That's reaching a lot of people. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Our benevolence is in there, different things like that. We saved $224,965. You say, is that all the money we have in the bank? No, because we've been doing this for a few years, y'all. You know, but let me say this. I say this to show you what a healthy church should look like. All right? So then when we start talking about building and building projects, understand my goal is to keep us here. Keep us here. That's why if we start talking about a building project and I say, hey, we want to raise this much money. The reason we want to raise that much money is so that we can keep our numbers where we like them to be, so we have margin. Now, here's one key philosophy that I have here at the church. This is how I set up the money every year. I look at 100% of our income, and then I cut it by 90%, and that's what we use the following year to run the church on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So this year, we ran $1 million. Ran $1 million, right? Million whatever. You see that? Let's see. We ran what? $1,066,000. You know what I know we're going to run on this next year? Right out of the gate? It's going to be about $900,000. That's where our expenses need to be, $900,000. That gives us some margin for increase, and yet at the same time keeping us to where we have margin on the top to be able to do everything we want to do and help people. See what I'm saying? Again, you've probably learned more about church budgeting than most pastors. But anyway, all right. But listen, how many of you know if you're strapped money and you can't reach and you can't do, it's not good. It's not good. You gotta know what you're doing with this. All right, so listen to this. Well, let me tell you why you gotta know what you're doing with it. Because it's not our money. Anybody else with me on that? Whose money is it? It's God's money, right? It's God's money. It's not my money. It's not my money. It's not your money. It's His money. Now, we want to be faithful with that, and we want to do everything we can to be good stewards of it. So that's why we run it the way we do. So now, let's talk about some new areas that we would like to do this year. Let me just say this. Number one, we're going to create an app for your phone within 90 days. We're already in the process of building this out. It's going to be cool. You'll be able to come in. You'll be able to click on it. As soon as you open it up, you'll have sermon notes in there. Also, some of the other things is you'll be able to give online, or you'll be able to give through the app. Another thing you'll be able to do is you'll be able to receive push notifications. How many of you know what those are? Push notifications are if we cancel church because of the snowstorm. You'll get a little bleep that pops up. Church is canceled. If you'll download the app to your phone, you'll know what's going on. Let's say we have an emergency, you'll know about it immediately through the push notification process. All those kind of things. Easter, obviously because of the growth, we're going to do 6 services on Easter. We're going to do a Friday, 6:30, Saturday, 5 and 6:30, Sunday, 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15. Why? Because I love punishing my body. That's what I love. Now, how many of you know we'll do anything short of sin to win the people to Jesus? This is not about me wanting to preach more, y'all. All right? This is about people want a relationship with God, and we want to be there to connect them to Him. All right? Another thing that we're contemplating doing, and this there is no contemplation in this. We're going to do this. It's just a matter of when. We're going to add a 5th service on Sunday, or on Saturday. So our Saturday will be 5 and 6:30. Our Sunday will be 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15. Say, Pastor Charlie, why are you doing that? Well, have you ever seen Groundhog's Day? I love that movie. You know, we just do it over and over again. No, here's the reality. The reality is, get this. If we're going to continue to grow, we have to make room for people. And here's the truth. Whether we see it this way or not, this is the reality. Before people can give their heart to Christ, typically they have to have their bottom in a church. And if they can't get their bottom into a church, then they probably can't get their heart to Jesus. So my goal is to create as much space as I can so people can give their heart to Christ. That's my goal. That's my heart. So it's not that I want to do it. Now, I will tell you this. I'm trying to get us by through the summer. But you guys keep inviting people. All right? But I'm trying to get us by through the summer. Because I know in the summer that 5 o'clock on a summer day, picnicking, giving up to come to church is hard. And those services shrink on Saturday. But by next fall, I promise you by next fall, we'll have to have that service. There just won't be enough physical room for people, right? Okay, say, is that it, Pastor Charlie? Oh, no. No, 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 no. You ready? Here's what we're doing immediately. You ready? Buying new properties immediately. Let me show you this right here. This is going to be our property boundary line. Now, what I got here is a little red dot. And I know what you're thinking. Is it a pin? No, those are for sissies. This is a red dot off a rifle. I love it. Can I get any men in here? Come on. Any men? Any men? Come on now. We ain't no a pin? 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 You can't do nothing with a pin. You got to have a red dot. Okay, anyway, all right. I'm back. Look at this. So here's which side should I choose first? Okay, who wants me to start on their side? Okay, they're louder than y'all. Y'all missed it. All right, I'll be over there in a minute. Okay, so check this out. Here's what's going on. This is State Road 26. For those of you that are not directionally challenged, that is north. This road right here is a disaster right now for us. And it's no one's fault except ours. We're growing, okay? So let me explain what's going on. Number one, we're buying this property right here. This is Mr. Hewitt, who owns Hewitt Molding across the street. He's selling us this portion of land. We are thrilled to get it. Thrilled to get it. In the future, not within the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully before 10, we would like to build a nice youth facility over there. And what we could see, anybody ever been to the Connection behind Morningstar, Pastor Greg Reed? Great man, great church, good place, all right? But Pastor Greg Reed, they have a nice facility behind their church for their youth and everything. We would love to create something like that over there for the youth and for the community to be able to come and do their community events there and no charge or anything like that. We're not going to, you know, we want it to be a community place. Maybe a softball field or something like that and some basketball courts, but mainly for youth. That's what that'll be over there. But for the time being, it's going to be parking lot. Parking lot right here. All right? Now, here's the church, obviously. This is a house. We're going to purchase that house. Or we have a verbal agreement on this house. This right here is Mrs. Adair, Mr. and Mrs. Adair. Miss Adair, I seen her earlier today. She was here earlier. Hey, Miss Adair, how you doing, man? Mr. and Mrs. Adair, they own all this property right here. Mr. and Mrs. Adair have agreed that they would let me buy a portion, a slice of this, okay? Now, here's the deal. I have a verbal agreement with this man selling this property. This lady right here lives in Augusta, Georgia. She is checking with her family. She apparently thinks she has a lot more than what she has. So the long story short, as soon as she gets back with me on selling this property, then we'll know if we can cut a road that goes through here to this road right here. Because our goal is to be able to move traffic out of here faster and better, so that we take this clogged road out of the way. Everybody hear what I'm saying? That's our goal. That's our goal, all right? So I hear your pain, man. I promise you, if you will just suffer with Jesus a little bit longer. I'm praying and believing that this will all be done by this summer. As soon as the weather breaks, we can get all this cut in and start moving traffic out of here at a better pace, okay? So please be patient with our church. Please, please, we love you. Please be patient with us, all right? Okay, so that's what you got going on right there. We're wanting to move traffic out through there and be able to open that up. This will be all for parking. This will be for parking. This will be for future growth. Maybe future growth later, but this is where we're at right now, all right? So that's the first thing we're doing. We're now currently working on this process. The landscape land work is being done by 40th Parallel. The attorneys have all this information. All right. So as soon as we get that nailed down, it'll be good. Now, next thing, you know what happens next? Here's what we need: a new building by 2019. That's our goal. All right. By 2019. Now, here's what's happened over this last week. For months, I've been working on this stuff. This last week, we brought in an architect from Utah, part of Growing God's Way. Great company, great organization. They build churches all over. They built, in my opinion, the finest looking places on the planet. They did Northview down in West Carmel. They do nice places. Anyway, I say all that to say, in 3 days, they took our ideas on paper and drew us a building on this property. You want to see it? It's pretty cool. Here it is. You ready? The new building, here's what you're gonna see. Number one, here's the floor plan. The floor plan. Now, I started over here. I'll give you guys this one. Is that fair? All right, so here we go. Here we go. Here's what you got. This right here is State Road 26. This right here is the road. 100. In other words, the building is going this way. You want to know why? When the architect showed up to our property, he said, "Your building is challenged." You know what that means in architect lingo? Man, that's ugly. That's ugly. Now, it's been great, and it's done what we wanted to do, but they want to hide it, and they want to get it behind something. So what they're going to do, here's the building. This is State Road 26, and this is the county road. And what they'd like to do is change the entire frontage of what we have being represented to the community, which I think is an awesome idea. Now, let me explain what's going to happen. This right here, this current sanctuary, will be turned into a kids' sanctuary with some classrooms off of it. This is not part of the build, and neither is this. They're saying for future, we could take this and turn this into classrooms for kids. All right? Because how many of you know if you got a building this size, you're going to need some kids' space? All right? Okay? This is leverage. Okay? This is a big narthex, our commons area, or entryway, foyer, whatever you want to call it. These are restrooms. This is an auditorium. All right? Sanctuary. Sanctuary, don't panic. Seats 1,200. 1,200 people. Okay? How many of y'all know, you see the growth. I'm telling you, within a few years, we could be 2,000 people if we had the space. How many of you know we're going to need that? Especially to get by for a couple more years, we got to get by before we can even have that. We're going to need that thing by the time we get it, right? Right? Okay, so you got that. You got, this is a outdoor patio area. This right here is a coffee shop. This is entrance, obviously. This right here is restrooms. This right here is a classroom. This right here is offices, all that. This is backstage and stage platform. Now, let me address this. Some of you have came from churches that were a little bigger. Some of you came from small churches. If you're a small church, let me assure you of this. It is not my goal to create something that you'll get lost in. That's not the goal, okay? We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. Let me tell you the second group. Those of you that came from a big church and you felt like you got lost in it, we are purposely designing that building to where you will feel as intimate there as you do here. Say, how is that possible? There's all kinds of tricks they do to make it happen. Gary and Pam were in the meeting this week with me whenever we met with the architect. I'll give you one simple one. You ready for this? How many of y'all, this is me, how many of you guys love the way I interact with the crowd and we all move together? And how many of you feel that because of the proximity you are to me? You feel like I'm talking to you. Even though I'm talking to everybody, I'm talking to you, right? Do you know why? There's actually a magic number. 64 foot. At 64 foot, anything from 64 foot and below, people feel like they're a part of what you're doing. At 65 foot, people feel like they're distancing themselves from you. Follow me? Guess what the furthest seat in this place is? 64 foot. There's about 20 over here and about 20 over there that are outside of that window, but that's it. Building seating 1,200 people and all at least you've got all but 20, come on, your 1,150 people is going to feel connected to where you're flowing and going. Things like that, that's one example of many things that we're doing in that building to make sure you don't feel like, this place is so big, I don't even know what's going on. No, it's not like that. That's not going to feel that way, I promise you that. We're going to purposely do that. All right, so that's that. You want to see some more pictures of it? All right, check this out. These are some aerial views, and we actually had a 360-degree radius that we could do as far as with the computer system, but I can't do all that here. But anyway, this is the aerial view of what it would look like. This is the old building. This is the road. This is the highway. All right, this is the building. This is the frontage towards 26. This is 100. This is parking. One of the things that we made sure we want is that one of the things is we're going to add a sidewalk down the entire lane of our parking area. And let me tell you why. Have you ever been to Walmart? I don't know why people got to walk down the middle of the road. Come on, can I get a witness in the house of God? Anybody willing to be honest? Good Lord. So one of the things they're going to do is we're going to have a major sidewalk that goes right down the middle of it on purpose so that when people get out of their cars, they can go directly to the sidewalk and get into the building and feel safe doing that. Everybody get that? Okay, so there's an aerial view. Let me give you it from the side. This is turning off of State Road 26 onto 100. There's what you're going to see. All right? These walls are 25 foot tall, something like that. So it's pretty big. You know, that is not my truck. No, that is not my truck. You're the first person that asked that. That is not my truck. But anyway, I'll show you. I'll show you something here in a minute. But anyway, okay, so that's the frontage. This is glass offices. This will be an office entrance, all that kind of stuff. Let me give you another view. Here's another view. This is like from across the street looking over. This is what you're going to see. This is all glass. This is all glass. This is the road. This is 100. This is State Road 26 back there. So this is the auditorium and the foyer area. And then this is the old entrance, the entrance you came in today. This is that entrance right there. They're going to cut that thing back and create that. All right? Does that make sense? Everybody seeing it? All right, here's another view. This is standing back there on the mounds, basically looking towards the church building from the air. This is what you're going to see, all right? This is people that don't want to go to church. I don't know what they're doing out there. But anyway, here's what you got here, right here. And that, my friends, is a BMW. I zoomed in on it. That's the only reason I know. But anyway, all right, that's that. That's what you got. This is looking from the exit, our current exit entrance, if you're looking over towards the main sanctuary. That's kind of how it's going to look. So does everybody see that? Those are some of the views. Now, you say, Pastor Charlie, where are we at in the process? Let me give it to you. You ready? Where are we at in the process? We are at the place right now where it's all about budget estimate. We're budgeting it now. Let me just tell you, and please don't freak out, even though this is a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me. The project is going to be somewhere between $4.5 and $7 million. How many of you know that's a lot of money? Okay, let me just say it that way. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of stinking money, but let me just assure you of this. You can see our growth, and you can see what we can afford. It is my job to keep us where we need to be and to not go over our percentages and make sure we manage the money well. When you grow like we're growing, you have to know you're going to need more space, and it's going to cost more to have that space. And yet, at the same time, you've got to know if God's doing this now, you can't expect God's going to do less then. Come on, amen? So now that $4.5 to $7 million is with no, I'm talking you write them the check and they give you the keys. There's a lot of things that we'll do to reduce the cost of that, okay? There's going to be a lot of things. One is we've got people within our church that will help, I know, financially, but they'll help also with equipment and different things as far as site work and just a lot of different things we can do to reduce that cost. But right now, it's about getting the hard numbers of what it's going to cost to build that thing. Everybody see what I'm saying? How long is the process, Pastor Charlie? The process for this building is about a two-year process. Let me give it to you this way. Here's how it works. That's why I gave you the next 2 years of growth. The way it works is, it's going to take us somewhere between 9 to 12 months to get the building budget done, the building design work done, permits, all the regulations applied, and then have permission to build, okay? Then it's going to take us somewhere between 10 to 12 months to complete the project. I'm currently, for the next 4 weeks, working on the budget for the project, all right? Now, listen to this. That means by Easter of 2019, we could probably be in that building. Now, there's some things that could happen that could throw that off, but I'm telling you, with my faith, I'm believing God by Easter of 2019, to be realistic, that we could be in that facility. Wouldn't that be an awesome Easter service to have? Man, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. So let me ask you this. Will you do something for me? And then I'm going to close here in just a minute. Will you do something for me? Come on, anybody? Okay, nobody wants to? Okay, that's all right. Will you do this? Will you pray for God's wisdom, favor, and finances over this church? That's all I'm asking you to do. Just pray. That's all we need right now for wisdom, favor, and finances. We're not asking for you to even give money yet. We'll have that in the future. Don't worry about that. See how slick that was? Right now, this is what we just want your prayers. That's all. We want your prayers. How many of you know prayer is what's going to make it happen? All right? And now, can I tell you, out of all that, what really matters to me? Can I show you what really matters? Can I show you what really matters? Can I tell you the building and all that is a good deal, and I'm excited about it, and the YouTube stats and this stat and that stat and this stat and that stat? But can I tell you, I started out my message saying every one matters. Right? Can I show you this morning what really matters to me? Just this week, I had the staff hold or keep the things that we receive in the mail. Now, unfortunately, you don't get to see this stuff every week, but I do. And sometimes, a lot of times, when you just come to church and you don't see what's going on, you don't see what all God's doing. But let me just show you some of the things that God is doing. Some of the things. Here we go. You ready? Listen to this. Osan, Indiana. I am Joel Oram's sister, and I live in Osan, Indiana. I think that's how you say it. She passed along some messages a couple weeks ago. one thing. Anybody remember that? I preached one thing at the beginning of the year, or 3 weeks ago. I preached at the last part of that series, How to Have the Best Year of Your Life. Listen to this. It says this, to me this morning, and I listened to it, she had often passed along messages to me, and always they always touch me. I do attend church in Bluffton on a regular basis, but I appreciate your sermons as well. Your message I listened to today really struck a chord with me. I feel like 2017 is a year of challenge for me and my family, and I hate change. In fact, I dig my heels in, and I usually do what I can to resist change. My childhood's dream was to be a librarian, and I finally landed a good job as a librarian, and now I am losing my job in June because my workplace is closing. I feel my whole familiarity of life is getting turned upside down. I am believing God to bring something better for us, my husband, my children, and my three sons for this year. I am hopeful that God will restore to us what the enemy has taken away. My husband is currently sitting in a CPA exam and does have a job interview tomorrow that could impact our future in a good way. Your messages showed me that it is okay to believe God for things. Yeah. I strongly feel like this year is God's year of teaching me a lesson on how to trust. I am facing a lot of anxiety about the future and the things on a day-to-day basis right now, and I will be claiming the promises that you have outlined at the end of one thing. I am also going to start looking at more of the promises on a regular basis because of my anxiety. With over 3,000 promises in the Bible, there should be something in there. Yeah, I did not know that there were so many promises. And it goes on a little bit, but we received that. Just this. Check this one out. How about this one? Pastor in Northern Indiana. I won't tell you his name because he probably uses some of my stuff. Hi, Pastor Charlie. I was doing some research for a sermon series, and I came across your sermons on YouTube. I have listened to about 8 to 10 of them now, and I am very excited. I told my wife, this guy thinks like I do. I didn't know there was anybody that thought like I did, but anyway, he says, you use a lot of the same verses and the same understanding of them that I do. It is awesome that I have found someone who thinks very similar to the way I do. Kind of scary, LOL. And it says, pastor of a church in Northern Indiana, maybe sometimes I could come by and we could have lunch together. Now, let me put that in perspective. This is why this matters to me. I don't have any idea how big his church is. What we're sending out there could be ministering to literally thousands of other people in different places. How many of you know that's awesome? How about this? Pastor Charlie, I am Pastor Peter Jenkins of Victory Church, United Kingdom. We're writing you to invite you as a guest speaker at our upcoming conference, tagged Passion Conference 2017, coming up the 2nd through the 4th of June 17, 2017, United Kingdom. You say, why am I saying that? To brag or boast? No. I'm simply saying the United Kingdom, y'all. You know, the Queen. We could be reaching the Queen. I don't know. Now you say, Pastor Charlie, are you going to that conference? No. Why? It just so happens to be the same weekend as my son's graduation. And I'm kind of busy here with 5 services by then, maybe. I don't know. Here's one. How about this one? This one really blessed me. Got this just this week. Check this out. Pastor Charlie, you're such a blessing. I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer in February of 2010. I was told by my surgeon I could have 3 years because of all the wonderful things that they can do. How many years? 3 years. My cancer had gone to the bone in 8 different areas. At that time, there were so many thoughts went through my head. We were caring for my father in our home at this time, and I asked God to allow me to love and to care for my father until God called him home. God allowed me to do this. My father passed away in February of 2011. Amber Stout, a lady who comes here, Amber Stout was our hospice nurse for my mother and my father. She was such a blessing and has a heart of gold. I love her so much. At one point, she mentioned how much she loved her church and Pastor Charlie. I started listening to your messages, and I love each and every one of them. I refuse to speak cancer into my head or my body. By his stripes, I am healed, forgiven, and saved. It goes, yeah, amen. Thank you for being a blessing to me. I love your messages and your beautiful music. ALC touches my life. I just celebrated 7 years past my diagnosis date. 7 years. They gave her 3 years. She's 7 years into it, man. 7 years. You say, Pastor Charlie, the building? No, do you not get it? That none of that matters to me, but this is what matters most to me. These are the things that matter to me, man. I've been praying for my daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren. I talk to them about you all the time, LOL. They attended ALC last week, and they enjoyed your church. My soon-to-be teenage granddaughter, who did not want to go, admitted she also enjoyed ALC. Ha. I thank God for you and all that you do. Blessings to you and your family. Say, Pastor Charlie, is that what matters? Listen to these are the things that matter. Buildings, I could care less. Budgets, I could care less. All those things mean nil to me. What makes me happy and what I get a rise out of is not how big our church is, but how many lives we can touch and transform and minister into the hearts of people. Amen? All the other stuff, it means nothing to me. It's just a means to do what we do. A building is not a shrine to me or ALC. A building is literally to me, I call it a silo where we gather the harvest, train them to go and reach more people for Jesus. Amen? That's how I see it, man. I believe it. Check this out. ALC's core value, we will do anything short of sin to win the lost. And if that means we have a building that's too small and we need to move to the next level, guess what we're going to do? I'm going to move to the next level, man. And I just want you to go with me. Say, why? Check this out. But one more Bible verse and I'm almost done. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to the tax collectors and the sinners who drew near to him. Notice that. Who did Jesus draw near to him? Sinners and tax collectors. Watch this. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. And he spoke this parable to them, saying, watch this, and you know the story. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not leave the 99 and wander into the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, and he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who just persons who need repentance. You say, Pastor Charlie, why is that so important? Let me give it to you this way. The Bible says that if there was one out of 100, Jesus would go after him. The next story in the same passage says the lost coin. It's 1 out of 10. Then you get to the prodigal son. He is 1 out of 2 goes astray. You know what I take out of that entire message? Everyone matters. And when I say, I'm talking one. I'm talking one. That means, would I consider building and going to the next building if it was just one person? You better believe it, man. If we reach just one more person, to me, it's all worth it. That's one person that would absolutely, their life will be absolutely changed. Do you think we're going to reach more than just one person in that new building? Oh, come on. You've been around here? Come on, you know we're going to reach way more than just one person. So you say, Pastor Charlie, what's the challenge? I'm holding on to my wallet. No, keep your money. Keep your money for now. Keep your money for now. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Here's all I'm asking you to do. Pray. Just pray. Just pray that God will give us wisdom. God will give us favor. God will give us everything that we need. Not to build some big building, but to do what he has called us to do. That's all I'm asking you. I'm not asking you for any of that. Say, but Pastor Charlie, I hit the lottery. Okay, it's $7 million, I think, maybe. Write it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm saying this in true earnest. Save your money for now. Save your money. Believe it or not, we have had people in our church come up to me and say, Pastor Charlie, when are we going to start a building campaign? When are we going to start all that? Because I want to give to it. Save your money for now. Let us get through the budget phase. I don't want anyone giving money until they know what it cost. Is that fair? I'm just going to tell you, this is what I hate about the government. They take your money and don't tell you what it cost. Before we do it here, I want to know what things cost so that you know exactly what you're giving to. You say, Pastor Charlie, do I think we can do it? Come on. Oh, ye of little faith. How many of you believe we can do it? How many of you are game up with me? All right, some of y'all ain't with me. I don't know where y'all are at. But anyway, pray about it then, I guess. How many of you will begin to pray for our church, though? That we'll be wise, we'll be smart, and God will give us favor. Amen? Amen.